Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are live here on Facebook and podcasting and streaming and YouTubing and Instagramming all over the place for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. And you are all so welcome to be with us. Thank you for joining us, whichever way you're joining us now. And I have to say, Lizzie, that we are both coming into this straight out of or in the middle of a joyful day of celebration, because we've reached the end of another year of our professional coaching course, and it's the last day, it's the Sunday, and everyone has completed and has certified as a coach. And I'm coming into today with such joy and love for all of them and for the work that we get to do and for Third Space, which gave birth to Turning Towards Life. It's a completely different feeling to begin this conversation with you from that than from the normal way that I do it, which is waking up on a Sunday morning, trying to get ready as quickly as I can and then coming into a conversation with you. So I'm feeling outrageously love-burstingly love-filled today.
Thank you, Justin. Me too. And it feels like this source is an expression of everything from this year that we've been in with everybody as well. And I think I want to dedicate this episode to the people on the professional coaching course called PCCC, and as a thank you to them and as a dedication to what I've seen unfold in all of them. So if you're listening from PCCC, thank you. And this is a poem by the extraordinary Rosemary Wotola Troma. And I always think that Rosemary, Justin, is a kind of somehow, I don't know, like when she writes her poems, I feel like she knows us as she writes them and the work that we do in the world. So I just want to say I'm really grateful, Rosemary, for everything that you bring and for your huge contribution to our lives as a poet and a person and someone who gets what we're up to in the world without even knowing what we do. We feel seen by you. So here we go. This is called Love. Though I am undeniably broken, I come to you with no need to be fixed. I come to you the way one river meets another river, not joining out of thirst, but because there is so much power and beauty in giving oneself to another, in moving through the world together. I come to you the way the half moon comes into the yard. I could be more whole, but in the meantime, I will bring you everything I have.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it too. I just want to remind everyone that you can find Always the Source if you want to join our Facebook group. Come and join us, Turning Towards Life, and you can find it there. But we also post it on our lovely turningtowards.life website and post it with the podcast. And the other thing is, who knows what you're doing as you're watching or listening to this, but maybe before I read, you could just take a moment to, if you're up to something else, just interrupt that for a moment and let yourself soften, so that Rosemary's words can reach you. This is Love by Rosemary Wotola Troma. Though I am undeniably broken, I come to you with no needs to be fixed. I come to you the way one river meets another river, not joining out of thirst, but because there is so much power and beauty in giving oneself to another, in moving through the world together. I come to you the way the half moon comes into the yard. I could be more whole, but in the meantime, I will bring you everything I have.
Thank you. So Justin, as you read that to me, I was experiencing you actually saying that to me. And it's so beautiful to be met in relationship by someone who doesn't want to fix me, but who wants to be with me, and who wants to meet as one river meeting another river would, and to flow into one another and become part of one another, and to be together. And so I feel like, I don't know, recently in groups I've been in, I haven't experienced this. You know, when you get into a group of people and everyone's trying to change each other and trying to convert everybody to the way that they are, and I'm sure I do it too. And, you know, it's like this kind of thing about us that we have some kind of mechanism, I think, to make things feel safe by making you be like me or something. And so this feels like a kind of call to the part of us that can let that go. And it appeals to the part of me that just wants to be free of that too. Free of trying to get anybody to do anything or be anything other than what they are. And to really bask in the power and beauty of giving myself to you and you giving yourself to me as we move through something together. It's such a different narrative of you need to be like me for us to be friends, or you need to come this way so that my agenda is fulfilled. And it calls on a kind of spaciousness in me to be able to do this. And it also makes it so safe for me to actually say what's true if someone's not trying to change me. So if I'm not trying to hedge around according to what I think someone's needs are, because they're quite explicit and they're saying, what's happening, who are you, and how can we be together, is such a different thing. So I read this poem and thought, oh, someone saying the thing that I yearn so much for in any space that I'm in, is that we can essentially be alongside one another, open to one another, inclusive of each other's parts, safe so that we can reveal ourselves to one another and really, really be together.
I'm feeling the joy of being with you, Lizzie, in that way right now. And because what a radical and ordinary thing this is that Rosemary's writing about. It's radical because I can feel, I'm feeling so different. I'm feeling so much the spirit of Rosemary's words coming into this conversation today, Lizzie, in the midst of this completion of our year of our professional coaching course, because, like you said, what Rosemary is teaching us here is also what we've been up to all year.
Mm.
So I'm sort of feel steeped in this possibility, but it's so different to the way that we are very often taught to know ourselves and to know one another, which is to always consider ourselves not broken in the way that Rosemary writes about, but faulty. And if I'm faulty, which means I can't basically deal with being in my life in any way, I have to keep on making sure that everyone around me gets fitted into exactly the way that I need them to be, because I couldn't possibly tolerate you, Lizzie, in your fullness and your gloriousness and your particularity. Mm-hmm. And I can't really tolerate me there. And so we run around in this kind of desperation of it's a completely impossible project, which is I have to fix myself and I have to fix everyone so that the world will be just the right shape, that I'm never going to have to encounter anything I don't want to encounter. And when I've done that, then I'll feel okay.
Mm.
It's an impossible project. It's unfinishable. It's not doable at all, actually. Mm. But we're not, much of the time, we're not greatly supported, I think, in this fierce and loving invitation that Rosemary's making, that we might meet one another's beauty and magnificence like gifts. So as long as, the thing that's really occurring to me, Lizzie, over these last few days of completing our year together with this group, is I've been looking afresh at the people around me. And I've been in the relationship that I'm in with Davina for 33 years. And what I realize as I look back on my own life is all the years that I was up to the secret project of trying to have her be the person that I thought I needed her to be in order for me to be okay, and how ridiculous that was, and how painful that was, what an endless source of suffering, and what a joy it is to discover in this other person that I share my life with that she can be exactly who she is, and it's glorious and really different from me, really different and really wonderful. That's one of the places I've learned this, and I keep on learning this with my children who are young adults, that if I can, that when I give up the any part of the you have to be the way I want you to be, and instead go Rosemary's way, which is you are perfectly unfinished like the half moon and beautiful right where you are, can I receive the gift that comes from you and be enlivened by all the ways, including, I really get that this from Rosemary's words, this isn't some simple, it's always joyful to be around other people. Sometimes it's hard to encounter one another's difference. It brings up our tender parts. It brings up the parts of us that are protective. But at a sort of bigger, deeper level, when we can practice seeing that simply to be with another life, simply to be an encounter of another life, is an extraordinary miracle. Then I think we've got this possibility that Rosemary invites us into, if we get to bring one another everything we have.
Just making that connection as you're saying all of that, Justin, that if I am going to bring you everything I have, it really helps if I'm considered broken but not wanting to be fixed. So if you know I'm broken but I don't want you to fix me, it feels like I can bring you everything I have, because I know that you don't have an agenda with me. So it's like, if we can do the thing you're saying that you do with your family, and not trying to turn people into who we think they should be so that I'm okay, then they get to bring us everything that they have. But if we don't do that, they don't. They bring us something different in that gets kind of born by the dynamic that we're bringing, which is an expectation or a demand or a push or something. If we don't have that, so the irony of it is that, I mean, of course we want people to bring us everything they have. As human beings, we want to bring everything we have, and we want to bring them to bring everything they have as individuals. That seems true to say that. Like, it doesn't seem true to me to say that we're born to say, I just want to see a slither of this and a slither of that. There's an everythingness about being a person that feels true to say that we all are in relationship to encounter the other people. That's what we're there for. And so to live in a way where we invite that possibility of people bringing everything that they have to us, that isn't like, oh, you need to fit into this really small hole, otherwise I can't see you. But that we are wide, and that we're vastly open for things, people, stuff to be revealed to us, feels so crucial to feeling like our lives have meaning, that our lives are the ones that we signed up for. So this feels like a kind of a declaration of truthfulness about what we really, really, really want, which is, I really do want you to bring me everything. You know, I often think this with Vesper at the moment, who's just about to be two. Like, I'd rather know the truth from her than that she's doing what I tell her. Because maybe if she keeps doing what I tell her, she won't tell me all the time she doesn't do what I tell her, which is probably the most interesting part of her life that I'm really interested in. So if I keep giving her the impression that certain things aren't welcome, I'll miss so much. I'll miss so much of her if I try and make her this perfect little shape that I think she should be. She might then learn that she can't bring the stuff to me that isn't of that shape. And I really want to see all of it. I want to know all of her. I want to encounter her who-ness in all of its glory when I'm really straight with myself. And of course I can be annoyed and think, oh, I just need you to be a certain way. But actually that's not really what happens in our relationship so far. So I think she's extraordinary and keeps showing me more, and spend most of my time crying, getting her to sleep because I'm in awe of her. But I can feel that I have preferences. You know, I can feel that I have, like, I'd like you to say this to people, or, you know, I'd like you to say thank you, for example. Or, but also I love the part of her that doesn't want to say thank you, if I'm really honest with myself. There's a social part of me. And then there's the part that goes, yeah, I'd love to not say thank you when I didn't really mean it. I'd love to just be quiet if I didn't really appreciate someone, but I was expected to say thank you. So I feel like there's so much beauty in the pieces of the puzzle that aren't the ones that we prefer. And I think that's what this invitation is for me, is I really do want to bring everything and be heard and received. And I want to be the person who can hear and receive everything from another as well.
Really struck by how hard it can be to do this, Lizzie. You know, in a way, it's easy to say, but it's so hard because quick as we feel afraid, and because we feel ashamed, and because we've learned that our job is to, I think it's one of the great myths of our time, particularly if you've grown up in cultures that have been really strongly permeated by the story of individualism, of individual achievement, and somehow what it is to live a life is I've got to get ahead, I've got to do this on my own, I've got to be self, sort of got to haul myself up. Yeah. We feel so far from that so much of the time. And it also teaches us that it's our job to somehow be in control of the world. And if I'm in control of the world, then whether it's with our children or our friends or our partners or our parents or our colleagues or somebody across the street, we don't even know that we're doing this a lot of the time. It's my job to get you to be the way that I imagine that you ought to be, which means I won't honor or pay attention to or love the part of you that doesn't want to say thank you, for example.
Yeah.
Or the part of you, Lizzie, that wants to tell me the truth about something that's tender for me. Or the part of you that says, when I say, will you spend this time with me, you say, no, there's something else I want to do. And we can so easily get into this permanent ongoing wrangle of feeling our own disappointment in ourselves and our own disappointment with other people, and then doing whatever we can to imagine that we can sort of manipulate the world and manipulate ourselves and manipulate others so that everyone will fit just into the categories that we imagine. So it's really hard and it's really painful, and it takes an enormous amount of surrendering to ourselves and to life and to one another to be able to welcome one another, one another's wholeness and one another's brokenness, to be alongside one another. It's occurring to me as we're talking that it's really a kind of it's an imaginative act, the leap that we might have to make sometimes, is to go, what if instead of I'm terrible and you're terrible, which I think is the background understanding about people that we have, even if we don't say it, like dangerous, terrible, have to get everything, but that's why we want to be in control. if we can make the imaginative leap to say, wonderful, blessing, gift, extraordinary, welcome, and not have that be another way that we're trying to control one another. So not, I'll welcome you as long, oh yes, of course I can welcome you and love you just as you are, Lizzie, as long as you actually still fit into all of my categories. Yeah. It's a really tender place. but the act of imagination is really important, because I think the story we have about ourselves and one another is just a story that we have about ourselves and one another. It's a cultural artifact that we carry with us. It's not true in some everlasting sense. It's simply a story we have about what it is to be a person. There is so much power and beauty in giving ourselves to one another and moving through the world together.
And if that's all you and I do is move through the world together, that's powerful and beautiful enough. It's like that line for me releases me from having to do all the things that you just said. It's like I can imagine myself into, we're just standing here giving ourselves to one another alongside each other, which means I don't need all of those things to be the way that they need to be for me. So I'm really appreciating you inviting us into this kind of imaginal realm, because I can just imagine like going into my family and taking all of the demands off and encountering people with fresh and open eyes and going, who are you? You know, probably don't know. You know, it's like there's a level at which, of course I know. And there's the level at which I probably know absolutely nothing. And then there's like, you know, the deep mystery that I, you know, the familiarness of people has an effect of kind of removing the mystery factor unless I dedicate myself to seeing them as a mystery. And so I think this way of moving through the world where people can be mysteries, and I think you've said this loads of times about waking up in the same bed as the same person for the next, for the last 30 something years and still going, what, who are you? And as you were speaking, I was realizing that, you know, the work that we're doing together, Justin, is one of the things that enables me to return back into the ordinary situations of my life with new kind of, like, something's been peeled away, some kind of way I've been seeing has been put to the side, and my heart swells and I stop taking things for granted for however long until I do again, you know. But these last 4 days, for example, what I notice, like, I come back into the ordinary domestic spaghetti bolognese moment or dishwasherage or bath time or whatever, and I'm astonished at what's here, who's here. And I'm so grateful that that's possible, that newness, that freshness doesn't have to be sought in something new. The newness is something that's an aspect of our being, that we can cultivate newness by seeing more clearly, by having clarity about the mystery that this whole thing is. And I love it that you normally say at some point in anything that we do, like, how unlikely it is. Well, it's unlikely that you and I even know each other. It's unlikely that we're doing this. It's unlikely that the words and the language that we're using with one another is what it is, because it's you and I. And there's this like whole host of unlikeliness in every single piece of life. And that alone is an invitation to clarity and seeing more deeply and feeling more deeply and appreciating newness in oldness, and how every day is a different piece of life revealing itself to us. And it's our invitation to be received. Like, we can receive that invitation. And I think this is what Rosemary's so deeply onto, is this eruption that is life that can get so easily smothered by all of those things that you said, like having to be in control, having to be independent, having to be a certain way, society and culture telling us how, what we should and shouldn't say, what we shouldn't say yes and no to, and how we should be. And it feels like a real gift, like a sacred kind of important gift, to be able to see with new eyes things that are already really obvious to us, or already taken for granted, or already old news, and bring our wonder, bring our awe and our open perspective in admitting we actually don't know anything really very much at all about who anyone is.
It's the most amazing thing. What you said really got me onto this thing we were talking about, say being with family and giving up the demands, and then realizing we don't really know one another, like we do and we don't. When I think about when I have difficulties with other people, very often I've got a really clear story about who they are and what they're up to and why they're not doing what I want and all of that kind of thing. And it creates, it's such a shutting down. And the alternative here is to go, I don't know. And what's more, anything I do know, because of course we do know things, we do know about one another, we do know one another, is always changing anyway. That to be human is to be this unfolding, like a river, like Rosemary says, always flowing. So whatever I might rely on, I can also rely on you changing. And if I can give up my demands that you be a particular way, to stop treating you as something broken that needs to be fixed, and instead treat you undeniably broken with no need to be fixed, like a river, then, as you say, I can enter into the possibility of awe and wonder, which I increasingly think are two of the primary responsibilities of being human, actually, is to practice coming at the world with awe and wonder, and with one another. And it's because it's hard to do that, because we don't often do it and it's not in our culture, that we imagine that we need to get, we end up in this desperate, I have to somehow sort of consume the whole world and every person in order to get what I need. So you're not, I could have a better friend than you, Lizzie, because, or I could have a better partner than whoever, I could have had better children than the children I have, or because we, the whole consumer orientation of our culture is always, you can never be filled, and your job in life is to amass as much as you can, as much experience, as much resource, as much also as if we didn't have finite time. So it's suddenly occurring to me that when we can drop that enough, that we can see the absolute miracle and unlikeliness, like you were saying, of one another being here, and also none of us is going to be here that long. Then maybe we can start to open in this way that Rosemary is inviting us into, is maybe you're not some broken thing that needs fixing, that I can't be okay being with you until you're fixed and I'm fixed. Maybe we are two absolutely, completely, unbelievably unlikely, miraculous, unfolding lives coming into contact with one another. And we could start to find the beauty in giving ourselves to one another and receiving ourselves and one another. We wouldn't have to go anywhere else. We wouldn't have to keep on having better than there is now, like I've got to keep on, we wouldn't have to do that so much, and we could bring one another everything we had and know it as blessing.
And how amazing that we could all be this reminder to each other as well. So when I come to you with some kind of story, you can also help me see I'm telling a story. You can help me unforget. You can help me remember that there's also another part of me that could see. So which, you know, the part that can encounter mystery and wonder, what does that part think now? You know, you can help me redirect me there when I'm entrenched, when I'm clinging on to my righteousness, my determination that the story I'm telling is the story that's true. And I think that's where we come to so many times in these conversations, is how beautiful that humans can be this reminder to one another, that inside of a relationship that's reflective, that's looking at the world with, and feeling into the world with a kind of inquiring nature, like, what the hell is going on here? Who are we? What's happening? What's the point in everything? Being in some big questions with other people really helps with this. It really does. And I think that's what our, you know, the community that we're building is made of, is these kind of community relationships where, you know, someone said it in our group earlier, Justin, that community, one definition is where you don't have to leave anything out of who you are when you're in it. And that kind of community seems to be such a necessary foundational something for us to be human beings and to thrive alongside one another and enjoy each other and live meaningful and lovely lives that also include whatever needs to be included, that's open to all of it. So Justin, I want to thank you for being this and for the space that we make each week, that I certainly just feel deepened by, opened by, in awe of again and again and again. So thank you. And a big, massive thank you to Rosemary for being a person who says it like it is, from the heart, with this extraordinary selection of language that turns into her poetry. It's really beautiful. So we are going to be back next Sunday again. And thank you all for being with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for opening into the things that we bring and for sharing us with people. And we'll be with you again next week.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.